Good morning. I'd like to thank the organizers, John Duke Anthony, everyone involved in setting up this conference, for inviting me. It's a great pleasure to be here this morning. It's particularly nice for me to be on a dais with so many former U.S. ambassadors to Saudi Arabia. As I said to them just a few moments ago, I get to see their pictures every morning when I walk into the embassy. So it's nice to see some of them in real life. You know, I had dinner two nights ago with Ambassador Al-Jubeir, and we plotted what the two of us were going to say at this conference. So I'm feeling his absence enormously. One of the reasons is I'm going to be denied the pleasure of embarrassing him, because I was going to acknowledge the very great work, the very hard work that he has undertaken with regard to a very full agenda that we've been pursuing out there. When the President came out on his second trip in 4 months last May, we were able to get quite a volume of work completed. We got six agreements signed. Three of them were nuclear cooperation related. One was a memorandum of understanding. The other was a nuclear non-proliferation agreement. And the third one was a nuclear terrorism agreement. In addition to that, we had a critical infrastructure protection program signed. We also had a science and technology agreement signed with the kingdom. And last but not least, we got the five-year reciprocal visa agreement in place as well. None of this would have happened without the very, very hard work of Ambassador Al-Jubeir, and I'm very grateful to him for all of that. As U.S. Ambassador to Saudi Arabia, I can talk about the relationship between the United States and Saudi Arabia for many hours. Mercifully for all of you, I don't have that long. But there were a number of points I did want to make. Again, the plan was Adel was going to go through all the reasons why the relationship was very much on an upward incline, and I'd like to recognize, in addition, the hard work that my two predecessors put in, particularly Bob Jordan, who was ambassador immediately after the dark days of 9/11. Who kept the relationship together when both countries, I think, were very shocked about the events, and I think we should acknowledge that. In addition to the work that my immediate predecessor Jim Oberwetter did at a time when, in 2003 and 2004, the security forces were battling extremists in the streets of Riyadh. We had compound bombings. Westerners were being targeted. It was a difficult time indeed, and so these two gentlemen deserve a lot of praise for keeping the relationship together and moving forward. And a lot of the recent successes that Ambassador Al-Jubeir and I had would not have happened if it hadn't been for their hard work. So I wanted to acknowledge that. You know, Saudi Arabia is probably one of the few good news stories for U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East. I had a light moment with the President when he was out after we'd signed all these agreements. I turned to him and said, Mr. President, tell me which of your foreign policy advisors a year ago would have identified Saudi Arabia as one of your major foreign policy successes? And he looked at me and said, You know, I don't think any of them would have done this a year ago, and so I think it speaks to what has happened in the kingdom, and the numbers tell the story. If you look at visas, for instance, a year ago, the NIVs that were issued out of the embassy totaled about 60,000. I just saw the latest figures for fiscal year end as of October, and we're over 70,000 visas having been issued. Saudi students, a year ago, there were approximately 12 to 13,000 students, Saudi students in Saudi Arabia. As of today, we have 17,000 students in Saudi Arabia. This is contrasted to what it was in 2002, obviously post 9/11, when the number was about 2,500 Saudi students. So all those numbers are moving in the right direction. If you look at the business environment, we have over 350 projects in the kingdom involving American companies for a total amount of over $25 billion. You then look at the mega projects, which involve companies like Chevron, ExxonMobil, Dow, and you're in the tens of billions of dollars. We have many more American companies coming out to Saudi Arabia. We have many more Saudi delegations traveling to the U.S. I was able to lead a delegation of Saudi companies to the Offshore Technology Conference in Houston this spring. It was the largest delegation of Saudi companies. 75 companies were represented at that time. So we're encouraging this. The message to the business community is that Saudi Arabia is open for business. The economy is booming. If you're an American company and have international aspirations and you're not looking at the Saudi economy, then you're missing an opportunity of a decade, if not the next three decades. And that's a message that we send out loud and clearly. As many of you know, the United States is Saudi Arabia's largest trading partner and has been for the last 50 years. That continues. Foreign direct investment into the kingdom. The United States comprises between 20 and 25% of all foreign direct investment in the kingdom. And I was delighted to hear from His Excellency Omar al-Dabagh, who runs SAGIA, that the U.S. Retained the top position this year. So all of that is also moving in the right direction. So overall, it's, as I said, very much a good news story. The two areas I really wanted to focus on this morning were the recent terrorist trials that have started in the kingdom, and I also wanted to talk about the King's Interfaith Dialogue Initiative. You know, counterterrorism effort in Saudi Arabia has been a huge success story, and it's one that I think everyone can look to with a lot of pride. Again, dark days in 03 and 04, compound bombings, the Ministry of Interior was bombed, our own consulate in Jeddah was attacked. We had five consulate employees killed, 10 were injured. Since those days, the security services have shown themselves to be very efficient, very focused, and extremely effective in combating extremism in the kingdom. In fact, the statement I make is that Saudi Arabia is the only country in the Middle East that has engaged and defeated al-Qaeda in their home turf. Al-Qaeda as an organization does not exist in Saudi Arabia. Yes, there are cells of bad people who would like to do bad things, but there is no command and control capability, no funding capability for them to organize the sort of attacks that we saw in 03 and 04, and that's an enormous success for the security services. We've played our part in that. It's a very close, ongoing relationship. General Hayden at the CIA has publicly stated that the relationship with Saudi Arabia on the counterterrorism front today is the closest and most productive counterterrorism relationship he has in the world. So that's part of this good news story. And moving on from that, I think everyone should view the terrorist trials that are taking place as we speak in the kingdom as a very important step forward. Many of you would have seen the announcement that 900 terrorists were being put on trial, and then a few days after that, another 1,200 terrorists were announced going on trial. And the thing to understand about this is that this is an opportunity to actually put extremist ideology on trial. It's important that the public see that the evils of Salafism and Takfirism is really what we're battling down there. So These trials are very, very significant from that standpoint, and we should be very supportive of what's going on there. The second topic that I think we should understand is the King's Interfaith Dialogue Initiative. This is an initiative that he began with a conference in Mecca, where he invited all the Islamic elders to discuss interfaith dialogue and put their stamp of approval on his effort, which then was carried forth in Madrid. And in the coming weeks, we'll actually arrive at the United Nations in New York. And I think what people should understand here is that this is an effort that will strengthen the King's hand and everyone's hand in Saudi Arabia as he continues to push forward for reform in different areas. The skeptics, I've heard the skeptics say, well, if he was serious about this effort, he would solve the problems of international or religious freedom within the kingdom first, and then he'd go outside. Well, what we're seeing is that he will be addressing those issues within the kingdom more effectively and more forcefully with the support and cooperation of the international community, which again is why I believe we should be supporting this visibly. So just to end, because I know Dr. Anthony has a very tight schedule here and keeps us all on track here, but just to end, Saudi Arabia is a good news story. I hope the next administration that comes in understands that. It's important that the strategic relationship that we have with the kingdom is well understood at the highest levels. I should say that as a Middle East banker for 30 years, when I took this job, I had just assumed that all the important people in Washington understood the importance of the strategic relationship and was shocked to find that that wasn't always the case in all areas. And the joke in the embassy is that as U.S. ambassador to Saudi Arabia, I should be spending 80% of my time in Washington and 20% of my time in Saudi, because the problems in the relationship are in Washington, they're not in Saudi. So one of my missions as we transition into a new administration will be to try and ensure that the important policymakers coming in understand, truly understand the importance of the relationship. Thank you very much.